is like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time.
Eternal Father, we bless you and we praise you and we thank you because you love us and you open your heart to us. The greatest gift you have given to us, Lord, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and we praise and we bless you. Tonight, Father, as we begin the school of grace, we are asking that, Father, we will attend our lessons. We will learn the lessons of grace. We will learn the protocols of grace. Lord, we will learn the workings of divine grace. This grace that can help a man to reign in life. This grace that can accomplish so much. The grace that is sufficient for life, that brings salvation. Lord, instruct us on your grace as we stay in your presence throughout this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we want to ask that you will open the eyes of our understanding so that we can behold wondrous things out of your law. Let your word find entrance into our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And the people said, Amen. Okay. So, this is the School of Grace, and we are beginning our study, if you have the manual, on page 3, where we start studying the power of growth. You know, the overall theme is growing in grace. Growing in grace. And one of the ways to grow in grace is to attend the School of Grace. So, you're already in class now. Now, before we begin to study grace, I just felt in my spirit that it's important for us to see the power of growth. The power of growth. What can happen when somebody grows? What can happen when something grows? And I want you to listen to me very, very carefully because I believe that growth is a cardinal secret and is a cardinal principle in Scripture. We are going to be seeing all those things. But first of all, I'd like us to read some texts which we might be referring to throughout the course of our studies. So first of all, let's go to Galatians chapter 4. It's the third scripture there, but let's read it first. Galatians chapter 4, and we will read from verse 1. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4 and from verse 1. Hallelujah. Now, what I mean, this is the Amplified translation that I'm reading. Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor or the heir is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave. He does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the estate. But he is under guardians and administrators or trustees until the date fixed by his father. So we can stop there. You can read the rest of the passage somewhere down the line on your own so that you can gain understanding. But he says, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child, as long as he's a child and as long as he is underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the what? He is the Lord of all. He is the master of all. He is the owner of everything. But the Bible says he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 4 from verses 30 to 32. Mark 4, 30 to 32. Let's read that passage of Scripture. And I want you to notice in that scripture, as we read, the word grown, when it is grown, you are going to see that as we read now. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison can we illustrate it? Shall we compare it? And then he says in verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown, do you see that? When it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that are in the earth. Verse 32, it says, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the other trees, and it puts out large branches so that the birds of the air are able to make nests and to dwell in its shade. So you see, when it is sown, it is very tiny, but when it has grown, it becomes very big, and the birds of the air, the Bible says, they come and they make their nests and they have, and find shelter under that. Praise the Lord. Now finally, let's read a story in Judges 11 from verse 1 down. The book of Judges chapter 11, and we are reading it from verse 1. I want you to see the story of somebody who grew. Somebody who grew. Some people who grew. And then somebody who grew again. Hallelujah. I want you to enjoy this story. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. And he was the son of a harlot. I don't know if you are seeing a contradiction there, an apparent contradiction. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. What does that tell you? I don't want to pass this. This is not my subject. But what I want to say to you is that where you were born, the circumstances of your birth, where you are coming from, is not as important to God as where you are going. You might have been born in a manger, but that does not make you a cow. It's not Jephthah that decided he wanted to be born by a harlot. Was it his fault that he was born by a harlot? The answer to that is no. I want you to know that no matter how you were born, God has a plan for your life. This man that was born by a harlot, his name entered into the faith book, the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, where people like Solomon do not appear. He had a bad beginning, but he didn't have to end like that. So would you stop using your background? If you look at me, you don't know my village, you don't know where I'm coming from. You don't know how it was with me when I went to school. And I won't tell you tonight. And if you ask Jephthah, he will tell you too that he himself had a very terrible background. And it was not a private background, it was public. The fact that Jephthah was born by a harlot was not some private information, it was a public information out in the public arena. But that did not stop this man from becoming a mighty man of valor. Somebody in this place, I speak to you tonight, no matter how you were born, no matter the circumstances of your past, God will make something out of your life. You need to believe that. Stop lamenting the past and start looking towards the future that God has ordained for you. The Lord said, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans for good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. So he was a next verse, please. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. These are the ones that are properly born in the house now. What happened to them? They grew up, and when they grew up, what did they do? They cast Jephthah out, and they said to him, you cannot have an inheritance in our father's house. For you are the son of a strange woman. Get away from here. They could not do that until they grew up. But Jephthah himself also kept growing. And Jephthah fled. He ran from his brothers and he dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men gathered around Jephthah and they went on raids with him. The man kept on growing in his leadership. And after a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. And when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our leader that we may fight with the Ammonites. But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and drive me out from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in trouble? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, this is why we have turned to you now, that you may go with us and fight the Ammonites and be our head. Come and be our head over all the citizens of Gilead, including your brothers that drove you out. Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them over to me, understand that I will be your head. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord is witness between us if we do not as you have said. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them. And Jephthah repeated all he had promised before the Lord at Mizpah. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Now I need you to look at me now. We are looking at the power of growth. And please listen, please listen. An overtaker unction, an unction to overtake, is present in what I'm teaching tonight. There are people that are at certain places right now. If you don't listen to what I'm teaching, people that are not where you are now will overtake you in life. That's not a curse. It is simply the truth based on the principle of growth. Growth makes it possible for something that is growing to overtake something that is stagnant. I said growth makes it possible for something that is growing to do what? To overtake something that is stagnant, something that is standing in one place. And so we have some introductory remarks that I'd like you to note about growth. The first one is that growth is a sign of life and health. Growth is a sign of life and health. All living things grow, and anything that does not grow is either dead or sick and about to die. Growth is a sign of life. You remember, those of you that have studied biology, what are the characteristics of living things? There's a way you normally remember it. Who remembers the acronym? Mr. Niger D. Not Mr. D. Niger. Mr. Niger D. What does the M stand for? Movement. They say these characteristics are present in things that are alive. And if you see these characteristics, that thing is alive. If those characteristics are not present, that thing is not alive. So what does the M stand for? Movement. If that thing is moving, it is probably alive. What does R stand for? Respiration. If the thing is breathing and respiring, it is probably alive. What does N stand for? Nutrition. If that thing eats, if it has a way of taking in, you know, nourishment, it is alive. And then what is I? Irritability. If you touch it and it responds to stimulus, you can say that it's alive. And then what does the G stand for? Grow. If it grows, it is probably alive. So growth is a sign of life. I hope you remember what the other one stand for. E is excretion, R is reproduction, and D is death. It must be able to die. If it cannot die, then it was never alive. Growth is a sign of life. Something that does not grow, it is either that thing is dead or that thing is sick, nigh unto death. It's about to die. So growth is a sign of life. Now, nothing can keep a growing something down permanently. If something is growing and it keeps growing, nothing can keep it down permanently. Anything that grows has a future. Anything that does not grow does not have a future. I said anything that grows has what? Has a future. Anything that does not grow does not have a future. I want you to listen closely. You see, the entrance of God's word will give you light. This insight can change your life if you will listen tonight. And if you will learn the principle of growth, no matter where you are right now, if you begin to grow, there is a future. And no matter where you are now, if you stop growing, there is no future. If you like, be the most anointed person on planet Earth. Once you stop growing, there is no future. Those that continue to grow cannot remain at the same level as those who do not grow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I say, if the thing continues to grow, it cannot stay at the same level as the one that is not growing. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, that a growing something is what? What does it say? Number 4 there on page 3. A growing something is dangerous. You can only ignore it to your own peril. When something is growing and you don't pay attention to it, you are dealing with something serious. I hope you know that Hagar, do you remember Hagar? Hagar was the Egyptian maid that Abraham and Sarah, they collected from Egypt when they traveled. But you know the problem? The problem was that Hagar did not remain as the little girl. What was happening to Hagar? Hagar was growing. Until one day, Hagar had gone become such that Sarah can now take Hagar and give to Abraham. But if you saw that young girl in Abraham's house, she didn't look like somebody who can be the mother of the sons of the bondwoman. But she was growing. I hope you know that Absalom, that is what we have there. Do you remember that Absalom's rebellion did not happen overnight? Do you remember that? His popularity kept on growing among the people. He kept on manipulating them. And that popularity kept on growing. The thing kept on growing. And David ignored it. The Bible says David did not rebuke him. He didn't correct him. Stories of what Absalom was doing, they were coming to David. But David allowed it. The thing kept on growing. It kept on growing. 2 people, 3 people, 1,000, 5,000, 20,000, 80,000. Until the heart of the whole nation had turned over to Absalom. David had to run away from Jerusalem like a fugitive. And he was running from his own son. What was the problem? This thing was growing. It was growing. He didn't do anything to it. Anything that grows is dangerous. Anything that does not grow, you can forget about it. And I will show you that both in life and in scripture, if that thing is growing, there is hope for it. If it is not growing, there is no hope of it. And number 5 or number 4 on your manual there, all round growth is critical if you are going to avoid the Ephraim phenomenon. The scripture is there, Hosea chapter 7, verses 8 to 10. You know what the Bible said? He said, Ephraim is like cake that has not been turned over. If you are baking cake, sisters, when you have an oven where the heat is coming from one side and you are baking the cake, what must you do after some time to your cake? You have to turn it. Now, if you don't turn it, what is going to happen to your cake? One side will burn and then the other side will still be raw. Is that not so? If something grows in a holistic and correct manner, that is it there. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake that is not turned. You see the problem? It's a cake that is not turned over. So one side of Ephraim is burnt, and then the other side of Ephraim is what? It's raw. Please listen. That is why all-round growth, multi-dimensional growth, is critical. Where there is no growth on every side, you will become like a cake that is not turned. There's a verse I like in scripture, Psalm 71 and verse 21. He says, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. You will comfort me on every side. You will increase my greatness and you will comfort me on how many sides? On every side. So there are different sides of life. You have your spiritual side. Of course, you are a spirit being, all of you. But you also have your emotional side. You have your financial side. You have your professional side. You have your career. You have your family side. You have your physical side. You have this side. You have that side. You have the side of your relationships. You have the side of your career. You have all these sides. The plan of God is that God will comfort you on every side. So that no matter which side the enemy is coming from, he will meet a roadblock in your life. Somebody say amen. You will comfort me on every side. I speak tonight. Any side of your life that the devil has exploited against you, I rebuke him tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. God will touch you on every side. That is what it means to be a balanced individual. From wherever side the enemy comes, you will be strong, you will be healthy. You see, some of us in the spiritual side, you are not committing adultery, you are not a thief, you are not a liar. The grace of God has helped you. But on the financial side, paying your house rent is a problem. Some of us, we have a lot of money. Professionally, in your career, you are doing very well. You're not doing badly. Promotion is coming in the office. But brother, you can't control yourself. You are cheating on your wife. What's the problem? You are like Ephraim. On one side, on the side of prosperity and your career, you are well cooked. But on the side of character, you are raw. That's the problem we have in today's church. We have believers that are cooked in one side and raw in another department. When it comes to playing these musical instruments, but if you give him your money, he borrows money from you, you will collect it after the rapture. Hoping that you don't miss the rapture. You are not left behind with him. You are born again, you can speak in tongues, but you cannot be trusted with money. Money! Right now, as I'm preaching, there are people that you are owing. You borrowed money from them, it's more than 1 year. You told them you will pay after 1 month. You are a Christian, you are a deacon inside church. You are owing people. There are pastors that owe their church members. Pastor, can you imagine that? You are borrowing money from your church members. How will they hear the sermon you are preaching? You are trying to explain it. We didn't read the Bible. You said, oh no man, nothing but to love them. Is that not what the Bible said? And then to make matters worse, you have not paid. And you are wondering why the church is not growing. If you don't grow, you will have areas of your life that are open. And it is those open areas that the devil will use against you. There are brothers that are very spiritual. They are very, very holy. Hey, this brother is so holy like this. But there is no compassion inside his heart. There is no compassion. There is no love. You will go to visit one of our sisters that delivered a baby. You will go to the house. They will welcome you. They will give you rice. You will eat with your holiness. They will give you malt. You will drink with your holiness. You will ask for water. They will give you bottled water. You drink with your holiness. Then when you finish, you say, sister, God bless you. Bye-bye. You are not correct. There is something wrong with you. You are not thinking. At least replace the malt that you drank. There will be other visitors. Brother, your spirituality is floating in the sky. It doesn't have roots. There are brothers that are very powerful. Shakarababa, when you say let us pray, they will not stop. But you cannot trust them with sisters. You can't trust them with sisters. You see these sisters here now. After choir practice, you'll be grabbing them. You'll be grabbing them. Say, sister, come now, come now, come now. Come where? He said, I want to go. I want to go. Please leave me. I want to go. He said, no, come now. Come where? Come for what? You cannot be trusted. These sisters are not safe. They are not safe with you. I'm telling you the truth. But you know how to play musical instruments and you can sing. What's happening to you? You are like Ephraim. And the problem we have in the church now is that Ephraim has multiplied inside church. People that are good in one area, but there is this area of their life that is completely raw. As raw as an unbeliever who has never entered inside church. So what's the solution to it? The solution is systematic, multi-dimensional, all-round growth. And when you are growing like that, you will be strong on every side. Oh, pay to, hallelujah. I saw some verses of the Bible. And you need to study. He said, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. Round about Jerusalem. So the Lord is what? Round about his people. From this time forth, even forevermore. He said, God, you have given me victory against my enemies round about me. Round about. In other words, there are adversaries round about. But thou shalt increase my greatness and you will comfort me on how many sides? Every side. That's the plan of God for you. That's what is going to make you a mature believer. There are some of you sisters, God is helping you in your walk. But respect for your husband. 5 naira respect you don't have for the man that God put you under in your house. Because you get more money than him. What's wrong with you? Do you want to humble yourself or you want God to humble you? Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, now we are making progress, and I want you to see, look at number 2 there. Growth is the big number 2. Growth is number 1, an unbreakable protocol of the kingdom. Growth is a law of the kingdom. Growth is an unbreakable principle, and you are going to see it right from the beginning. Do you know that growth was there in the beginning? Have you seen Genesis? Please, brother, go to Genesis chapter 2. Have you seen Genesis chapter 2? Put it in verse 8. Hallelujah. Look at what happened there. And the Lord God, what did he do? Planted. Somebody say planted. God planted. What did he plant? A garden. Eastward in Eden. And then he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9, next verse, brother. Now, come on, everybody, look at it. What does the next verse say? And out of the ground, the Lord God, he made to grow. He made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did the Lord God do? He made it to grow. He made it to grow. The Lord God planted a garden. When he planted the garden, what did he do? He made it to grow. Excuse me, this is Almighty God. Why did he say, garden, 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 manifest? And then a complete garden doesn't whoop like that and manifest it. Because right from the very beginning, God wanted to establish the principle of growth. This is Genesis chapter 2. Man had not been formed by this time, but growth was already in place. The Lord God planted. The Lord God made it to grow. And you remember we read in Mark chapter, you remember we read Mark chapter 4. He was talking about the mustard seed. Now, if you look at number, the next one there, after this one we mentioned, he talks about the mustard seed principle. Now, that mustard seed, we read it in Mark chapter 4. Is that not correct? That mustard seed. Look, I have some mustard seeds. Somebody gave me some mustard seeds. And you can't believe how tiny these mustard seeds are. Look, if you hold them like this and you breathe in and out, your breath will scatter it. They are tiny. They are very, very tiny. So when it is sown, what does it look like? It is the tiniest. But you see, that smallness of size at the point of planting, if you look at it, oh Tete, hallelujah, if you look at it when it is planted, you will not understand the potential. You will not understand what it is going to become when it is planted. But the Bible now says, when it has grown, what happens? The Bible says, the birds of the air, they will come, they will settle on the branches, they will build their nest, it will produce food, it will produce resources, when it has grown. Do you know that before it is planted, the birds of the air could eat it? But after it is planted, it can become a source of blessing to the very birds of the air. What has happened? It is because from the point in which it is planted, growth begins to take place. And when it has grown, you know why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you? Because many of you, looking at you right now, nobody can predict the future that God has for your life. Somebody didn't hear me inside church here today. I'm talking to somebody in this place. You know, some people judge you by the way you are now. They are making a bad mistake. Who knows whether the next general overseer somewhere down the road is sitting here tonight? Who knows whether in the next 30 years it will not be somebody in this place who has grown? Who has grown in the grace of God, grown in the anointing, grown in wisdom, grown in insight? Who knows whether there is such a man sitting down here today that God will speak to the leader that time and say, this is the man that will take over? Who knows? Who knows? What is the difference? When it has grown. When it has grown. And you see, there are two time frames. When it is sown and when it has grown. And if you judge the seed by what it looked like at the point of planting, when it is sown, you would have missed its potential. It does not look like his destiny as a seed, but when it is grown, the full manifestation of what is in it and all the possibilities within, they begin to emerge. Within the seed are flowers and branches, fruits and leaves, but none of this is obvious when it is sown. But when it is grown, all of those things begin to manifest. Hallelujah. The fullness of what you were meant to be will not be manifested when you are sown into the kingdom. But if you continue to grow, if you will begin to embark on systematic, multi-dimensional growth in your life. Now, I want to say something to you that annoys me in today's church. People are promising you instant everything. This is crazy. It will not work. I know that that kind of sermon is attractive. If you want to tap into this anointing, bring so and so amount of money. This is a lie. This is a capital lie. Which anointing? You yourself, how did you get that anointing? You got it from following God, from walking in discipleship, from seeking the Lord, from dying to self, from receiving a responsibility, from crying out to God for his grace and for his power upon your life. And then the grace of God began to dawn upon your life. And then you tell somebody that if he can only bring a certain amount of money, all of that grace and all of that anointing we enter into him is a lie. What is the difference? The difference is called growth. There are certain things. You see the way I am now. If you take Brother Ferdinand and make me the general overseer, that office will kill me. Now there are people who are interested in that office. They don't know that it can kill them. Because what that Baba is carrying, if they put it on your neck, it will break your neck. I'm not joking. You don't understand spiritual religion. You do not. Those that are fighting for spiritual position, you don't understand. If you understand spiritual things, if they bring it near you, you will be running away. The only way to enter into that place is that growth. And the grace of God that we choose a man and say, this is the person. You can carry it. Some of us, the glory that you are asking God to bring upon your life, if God answered your prayer, the answer to your prayer will kill you. Brother, now why do you say that? Because you don't have the capacity to handle what you are asking for. You won't believe it. He said, God, give me 1 billion naira. Give me 1 billion naira. You don't understand that money can carry you away. Oh. How much do you have in your account? To come for Bible study now is a problem. And then God gives you the kind of money you are praying for. Now to have your quiet time becomes a problem. To pray and fast becomes a problem. To read your Bible is a problem. Because you don't have the roots for the heights that you desire. But growth makes it possible, hallelujah, for you to carry weight. Growth makes it possible for you to bear load on your neck. Look at the mustard seed. When it has grown, now it can bear weight. It can carry the birds of the air. It can carry fruit. It can carry nests. And it will still be standing. All these instant promises that have multiplied inside the church, they are the gimmicks of money-making people. Growth is a kingdom principle. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar had that dream? Do you remember that image Nebuchadnezzar saw? When the stone that was cut without hands smashed that image at the feet of clay, what did the Bible say happened? The Bible said the stone began to do what? It began to grow. It began to grow. It grew into a mighty mountain and filled the earth. It's a picture of the kingdom. It's a picture of the kingdom. Even Jesus himself was not exempted from growth. Brothers and sisters, why didn't an almighty God send Jesus from heaven fully grown? There are some traditional places where they say that there are something fell down from heaven. Maybe they are king, he fell down from heaven. or the Ashanti school stool, he fell down from heaven. Why didn't Jesus just say, Hallelujah, I'm the Messiah? Pharisee, what's the matter with you? They say, when were you born? He said, I was never born, I just arrived. Why didn't God do that? But Jesus himself had to grow. Did you see that in Isaiah chapter 53? Isaiah 53 verses 1 and 2. Have you seen that? Eh? He's talking about the Messiah. He said he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. I need you to look at that scripture. Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. Who has believed our report? Have you seen that part? Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Look at verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He shall grow. In Luke chapter 2 verse 40, the Bible says Jesus and the child grew. He grew. He was strong in spirit. In Luke chapter 1 verse 80, look, he said, and the child grew. The child grew. And was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Do you notice the connection between the growth and the grace? Notice the link. Oh, hallelujah! Notice the link between the growth and the grace. The child grew and waxed. Waxed means gradually, systematically. He was waxing strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. There is no grace without growth. Go to verse 42, same passage. Verse 42, sir. And when he was 12 years old, is it 42? Is it 42? I'm looking for 40. Hallelujah. I'll get the verse for you. It's 52, please. Go to 52. Aha. And Jesus, what happened to him now? He increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor, grace, with God and with man. Jesus, he increased. He grew in wisdom and stature. Stature means physical. I'm going to show you that there are dimensions of growth. There are areas of growth. Look at Jesus, the Messiah. This is the Son of God. For him to become what he became, he had to grow. And he had to grow in many dimensions. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come and hear the Bible. He said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What's the difference between a child and a son? It's growth. Notice that a child was born, but it was not a child that was given. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a child is given. Amen? No. Unto us a son is given. Children are born into the kingdom, but sons are given for kingdom agenda. God cannot use a child. Even though Jesus was the Messiah, he was born as a child. But if he remained as a child, he could not be given for the salvation of men and nations. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Brothers and sisters, growth is the secret of becoming. Have you seen that on page 4? I said growth is the secret of what? Becoming. Becoming what? Becoming anything. I call it the law of process. Can we all read the law of process that we have there on the manual? One, two, go if you have it. The law of process. Have you seen where we are reading? Page 4, under number 2A, above. The law of process. Read with me. A process is required to obtain a product. And if you follow the process, what will happen to you? You will arrive at the product. If you follow the process, what will happen? You will arrive at the product. A process is required for every product. Show me anything in this place that does not require a process to make. Take your shirt, for instance. If this is a cotton shirt, what's the process? You have to grow the cotton, correct? And then you have to process the cotton. Then you have to connect the threads. You have to do all of that. And then you have to start weaving them together. And then you get the shirt. You have to color it. Look at the shoe on your feet. Look at the wristwatch you are holding. Look at the iPad I have here. Look at the video camera videoing this. Look at the plastic chair on which you are sitting. Look at the biro, the pen you are using to write. The Coca-Cola that you drink, the food that you eat, the cell phone that you are using. A process is required for every product. When some people look at Joseph, all they see is a man that went from prison to the palace. But was that the whole story? The answer is no. A process was required to convert that 17-year-old boy to the prime minister of Egypt. That process involved betrayal by his brothers. That process involved a pit. That process involved temptation. Temptation by the wife of his master. He looked like a shortcut. That process involved disappointment. It involved people that he had helped forgetting him. He helped a prisoner. And he said to him, he said, please, when you get out there, remember me, oh, please, remember me. The Bible said the man forgot him for 2 years. So the idea that Joseph just woke up one day and went from the prison to prime minister, and therefore God should do the same thing for you, is a joke. Oftentimes people see the glory, but they don't know the story behind the glory. They see the glory, they see the man of God, they see the miracles, they see the answer, they see the prosperity, but they don't know the story. Now, this generation, they want to jump the process and get the product. And it has never worked, and it never will work. And let me say to you that grace will not cancel process. Oh, I made a statement you need to hear. I said grace will not cancel process. Grace will help you with process, so that to ensure that you get to the product. But grace will not cancel process. Look at the apostles. How did they walk with the anointing they walk? There was a process. Jesus called them. Jesus taught them. He transformed them. He corrected them. He discipled them. He sent them out. They made mistakes. He taught them. He reviewed their mistakes. He taught them. He straightened them out. Then he now showed them the example of his own life. They saw him. They walked with him. And after all of those years, the anointing came down. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat on the head of every one of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. The Holy Ghost came suddenly on the disciples. But the disciples did not become apostles suddenly. Growth was required. Anybody who is promising you something without growth is deceiving you. Now, this I say, the scripture we read in Galatians, that the heir, he is the owner of everything, he is the master of everything. But as long as he is a child, he is not different from anybody. All the servants in the house will boss him around. So if he doesn't want to be bossed around, what must the heir do? He must begin to grow. Likewise, we have an inheritance in Christ. You are the heir of all the promises of God in scripture. But how are you going to get it? you will need to grow. And as you grow, as you keep increasing, in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with man, you will become all that you are ordained to be. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, nothing fulfills its destiny except it grows. Do you know that even chicken, excuse me please, what's the ministry of chicks? What's the ministry? What's the destiny of chicks? You know, I was preaching in Sierra Leone and I was talking of some of these girls. You know, these girls that dress anyhow and they are just walking like that. So I called them chicks. So when I say chicks, in Sierra Leone, they speak this type of pidgin English. So when I say chicks, my interpreter said, foul picking. I said, correct, foul picking. Actually, when you see some of these people, the way they are doing on the street, you know that this is broiler. This is foul picking straight. So I want to ask you, what is the ministry of foul picking? What's the destiny of broilers? Is to be eaten as food, true or false? But do you know that chicken cannot fulfill its destiny except it grows? How many of you want to eat day-old chicks? Raise your hand. Can you imagine you? You must be very wicked. You will take a knife and you will put it on a day-old chick. And then you will slaughter it and you will cook it and you eat it. They eat something like that in the Philippines, by the way. It's a delicacy. Just before the egg hatches, all the chicken is fully formed. They will cook it. And they eat it. They chew everything inside. In the Philippines, they eat it. So even chicken cannot fulfill their ministry except they grow. Jesus told us the parable of the sower. Do you remember? Some seed fell along the wayside, two of us. Some seeds fell on stony ground. Then some seeds fell where? Among thorns. What did the Bible say happened? He said, and the thorns grew and choked the seeds. So even the thorns could not fulfill their ministry of choking until they grew. Growth is a principle of life. It's the secret of becoming what you are ordained to become. The cedars of Lebanon, the Bible said in Hosea chapter 14 verse 7 and Psalm 92 verse 12, he said the righteous, Psalm 92 verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and it shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those mighty trees, the cedars, for them to become great, they have to grow. They have to grow. Number three, growth is the secret of revelation. Your potential, your possibilities, what is buried inside your life cannot manifest except you grow. You will never know. Excuse me. If I gave you seeds, 10 seeds, and I ask you, what is this? What is this? What is this? Do you know that you may not be able to identify the seeds? What would be the easiest way to identify the seeds? What would be the easiest way to identify the seeds? You plant them, sister. Thank you very much. And when you plant them, what's going to happen? Suddenly, the leaves will start coming out. You say, this one is orange. This one is mango. This one is apple. This one is pineapple. This one is something else. Then, as they keep on growing, the flowers will start coming out. The fruit will start manifesting. So, it is growth that brings out potential. Hey, child of God, there are things that are inside you. There are things that are buried inside your life. There are talents. There are gifts that are inside you. But if those things do not grow, they will never manifest. Hallelujah. What is inside only comes out and manifests by growth. What a seed contains can only be revealed by growth. And there are divine deposits in you that nothing but growth will reveal. Hallelujah. Look at number four. We will not finish all of this tonight, but I want to see where I can stop. Growth is the secret of prevailing. Do you know how sicknesses? Do you know how sicknesses conquer the body? Huh? Do you know how sicknesses come? Do you know that if one HIV virus enters into somebody and stays like that, the person will live a perfectly normal and healthy life? Is there any doctor in the house? Any health person in the house? Am I correct? Of course. The first thing that sicknesses, disease agents, the first thing they do when they enter into somebody's body is to do what? Is to multiply. They start multiplying. They start growing. The HIV virus begins to use the person's own body to multiply itself. It's called viral replication. It starts multiplying. That's why it can take from 6 months to 6 years before it can cause the sickness. But it is multiplying. Even malaria parasite, when malaria enters into somebody's body, in fact, all of us here, we are carrying malaria parasites in our body. Everybody in this hall now. I'm a doctor by training. I'm telling you, it's true. But why is it not causing sickness for you? It's because it has not multiplied. And every time, that's why you notice that sometimes when you are stressed up and you have overworked yourself and you are weak and tired, the malaria parasites wake up and they start multiplying. And then you have an attack of malaria. In other words, even sickness cannot cause sickness until it grows. I'm trying for you to see something. You cannot become the fullness of what God has ordained for you to be without growth. I can go on and on, but I will not. The Bible says the word of God grew and prevailed. Even the word of God has to grow before it can prevail. Many of us, part of the reason why the word of God has not prevailed over sin, over sicknesses, over demonic attacks in our lives, is because that word has not grown in your spirit. Come on, hear the Bible say, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly. Not scantily. Not one verse here, another verse there. Not one verse. He said, richly, in abundance. And when that word begins to dwell in you richly, you know what's going to happen? It will prevail over temptation. I said it will prevail over temptation. When the devil raised over temptation, he said, it is written. Look at that woman. It is written. They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It is written, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is written, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor immoral people, effeminate, homosexuals, nor drunkards, nor thieves, revilers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. The word of God will prevail over temptation when it has grown. The word of God will prevail over demonic attacks when it has grown. When that word has grown in your spirit, and they say there are witches and wizards looking for you, from your spirit, that word will rise up. There's no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said, look what God has done. He that keepeth Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, I will condemn. This is the heritage of the children of the living God, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord God is round about me. He shall give his angels charge over me. They shall bear me up in their arms. I will not dash my foot against a stone. How can you curse somebody that God has not cursed? He has given commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and you cannot reverse it. Let them curse, but bless thou. And when they wake up, let them be ashamed, but let your servant rejoice. Greater is he that is in me than he that is inside the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. When the word of God grows in your spirit, it will prevail over your fears. This anxiety, this worry that terrorizes you, and you are shaking as if God has died last night. The problem is that the word of God is in your heart, but it has not grown. Friends, are you interested in the solid process of becoming what God has ordained for you to become? Set your face to grow. And I'm talking of multi-dimensional growth. I'm talking about growth in stature, growth in wisdom, in insight, in understanding. You don't remain at the same level. Pastor, keep coming to your house. Every day there is phone call, Pastor. When the Bible says by reason of the time, by now you are supposed to become mature, but you still need somebody to give you, to teach you the elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ. If you are interested in collecting your full inheritance, it is time to grow. Systematic growth. Some of you in your career, you are stagnant. I was preaching in a church. Let me mention a few things. I will stop. I was preaching in a church, and I said to them, I was speaking from Proverbs chapter 19. I think it's verses 1 and 2. He said, that the soul be without knowledge, it is no good. It is no good for your spirit, for your soul, for your mind to be empty and blank with nothing inside. I said, it's time to make progress. It's time to grow in your career. Some of you are waiting for them to pass a secular that people who don't have a second degree cannot be promoted. That is what you are waiting for before you go back to school. God has not called you to be a full-time preacher, but for the past 7, 8, 9, 10 years, all you have is one degree, a fresh degree, and you are wondering why they don't promote you in your office. If you're a full-time pastor and you don't have time to go to school, we can understand that. But why are you at the same level in your career? And then you say, you know, it's because I'm not an indigene. It's because I'm not an... Was Daniel an indigene? I'm asking you, was Daniel an indigene in Babylon? Was Joseph an indigene in Egypt? Why were they promoted? Grow in your career. A point comes in your growth, in your career, that you will, people will be looking for jobs. Jobs will be looking for you. A friend of mine, he lives in Canada now. This brother, we did youth service together. He finished serving. He went back to Lagos from the north. He began to write exams. It was very tight. He wrote exams before you knew it. Chartered Institute of Bankers. He added it to his first degree. MBA, he added it to his degree. Before you knew it, I think he got a master's too from UNILAC. He added it to his degree. He went to Bordeaux Augusto. Bordeaux Augusto is one of the best financial training places. Those of you in the financial industry, you know. He attended Bordeaux Augusto. He added that to his package. He gathered all the degrees available in the financial circles in Nigeria. He was working in Zenith Bank. Another bank was looking for him. When he wrote to Zenith Bank that he wanted to resign, the managing director, the organizer of Zenith, called him to his office. He said, we don't want you to go. Now, this is why the bank is sacking other people. They are telling other people that we don't want you to go. What's the difference? Somebody has grown. The other bank that was looking for him, he sat down with them, and the question they're asking is, how much shall we pay you? How would you like to set your own salary? Some people are preaching prosperity without process. They are telling you, just shout amen, you will prosper. You will prosper. Say amen, amen. If you say the loudest amen, you will make it. It is a lie. Go and grow in your career. Somebody give God a clap of India. Give God a clap of India. You know what I'm talking about? Grow in your career. A point will come in your growth. Whether people like your face or they don't like your face, they will need you. I said they will need you. Rise up on your feet and let us pray. Come on now. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lord, I will grow. I will not be stagnant in life. Come on, lift up your voice and call upon the Lord. You will grow in grace. You will grow in your career. You will grow in every department. You will grow in your family life. You will set your face to grow. You will set your face to grow. I'm not hearing some of you praying. Men of God, you must grow in this ministry. You have to grow in your knowledge of the word of God. You can't be repeating these old sermons every Sunday. Somebody raise a cry tonight. Father, don't pass me by. While on others you are calling, while you are calling people to higher ground, while you are lifting people from the dung hill, using the process that you have established in your word, don't pass me by. You will grow in grace. You will grow in other areas of your life. You need to pray now. This is time to pray. There is a destiny that God has ordained for you. There is potential inside you that will come out. There is something buried inside your life. I prophesy that by growth, by listening to what I've taught tonight, you will manifest the divine deposit in your life. Will manifest the destiny of God in your life. Will manifest. You will become what God has ordained for you to become. Set your face. Multi-dimensional growth. Come on, man of God, pray. Make a decision here today. You will not be stagnant. Anything that grows has a future. Anything that does not grow doesn't have a future. And if you will continue to grow, I prophesy and I guarantee to you, nothing can keep something that is growing down permanently. Growth is the secret of breakthrough. How do plants break through the soil? They keep on growing. How do roots break down walls? They grow, they keep on growing until they push the wall down. Come on, rise up against stagnation in your life. Rise up against stagnation. Rise up. Rise up against stagnation. Rise up against stagnation. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Something is happening in your children here tonight. Something is enlarging. Something is stretching. Something is stretching. Brother, there is something inside you. There is something inside you. There is a destiny that only growth can reveal. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard what God has ordained for those that love Him, and we continue to grow in His grace. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. There are two prayers. God is changing your life permanently. Look, the word of God cannot return void. The testimonies from this meeting will come not tomorrow, not on Sunday. They will come in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. You will remember me. You will remember me. You will say, thank God that that man told me the truth. I'm planting seeds into your spirit. All of you young people, listen to what I'm saying to you. Take the word of God into your spirit. And in the next 5 to 10 years, people will see. There is something buried inside you. There is greatness that is located inside you. But the problem is that it is only growth that will unlock it. You are going to say to God tonight, I will grow. Whatever, no, I'm not asking you to repeat after me. I'm asking you to make a decision that will become a prayer. I will not be stagnated. Father, what you have ordained for my life, what you have ordained for me to become, I will become it. And the process for becoming it is growth. So Lord, I am going to grow. In this school of grace, I will grow. I will grow in a multi-dimensional area. If you have been like Ephraim, there are areas of your life that are porous, where you are raw. Pray tonight and say, Father, comfort me on every side. Comfort me on every side. Comfort me on every side. Father, this side of my life is leaking. This side of my life is not correct. I want you to mention the sides. Mention the sides. Is it your temper? Your temper. Is it the area of sexual temptation, immorality? Repent of that sin and say, Father, deliver me from this evil. Touch me on every side. Come on, lift up your voice and pray. Any sign of your life that the devil has been using against you, I terminate that opportunity. In the name of Jesus Christ, I terminate it. Come on. Pray for a few more seconds. Father, comfort me on every side. I must be sound in every side. I cannot afford to be like Ephraim. That area of your life that the devil is exploiting, open your mouth and pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally tonight, if by the entrance of this word of God into your heart, you are making a decision to grow in a multi-dimensional sense, that means you are going to set your face to grow spiritually, to grow in stature, to grow in your career, to grow in every department, to grow in ministry. I want to invite everyone that is making a decision for deliberate, consistent growth. I want to invite you to come forward. I want to pray with you. Just make your way forward. You will see the power of the Word of God. Whatever steps you are going to take, from tonight, you are going to take them. You will set your face. You cannot be stagnated in life. Supernatural enlargement will take place in your inner man, in your mind. Some of you, your brain is dying and you are still 30 something because you don't read anything. You don't read anything. You are not growing mentally. In an information age, your head is empty. God forbid that. In the name of Jesus Christ, God forbid that. You're going to grow in your career.
Amen.
After tonight, some of you are going to look for admission to go back to school.
Amen.
You are going to look for courses to attend.
Amen.
Listen, your prosperity is tied to your growth. Something will happen to you.
Amen.
On a day by day basis, you will be increasing. You will be waxing strong.
Amen.
You will take it to the fire and the barakata. He said, lose the fire. I said, you will grow in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I command a baptism of zeal.
Amen.
Zeal to grow, to rest upon these brothers and sisters here tonight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I command a passion for growth to enter into your bones, to enter into your heart, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
From tonight, I command holy anger.
Yes, Lord.
Against stagnation,
in the name of Jesus,
to enter into your spirit. Jesus Christ, receive a baptism of fire for growth. Receive fire to grow in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything that has stagnated you in life,
in the name of Jesus,
I terminate them tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree open doors.
In the name of Jesus.
grant opportunities for growth. From tonight,
amen,
you will find opportunities to grow. I command doors,
amen,
to open on your behalf.
Amen.
Into campuses,
amen,
into seminars,
amen,
into books,
amen,
to meet people.
Amen.
Doors of opportunity,
amen,
to meet people,
yes, Lord,
that will help you to grow.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. I command that this growth,
yes, Lord,
will happen in every area of your life.
Amen.
God will comfort you on every side.
Amen.
I said God will comfort you on every side.
Amen.
Any side of your life that is leaking, any department of your life where the devil is harassing your life, I terminate his opportunity tonight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not be like Ephraim. You will be solid on every side. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Your path shall be like the shining light, shining brighter and brighter and brighter, more and more, until you fulfill your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
And amen. Give God a clap of praise. Come on now.
Maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea.